All right, hello everyone, and a very happy Monday evening. So I am starting the second message in I Am That, and the name of this message is Obsession with the Body, which I think is funny because right now the Gentle Healing Group is looking at the message from A Course in Miracles, What is the Body? So just a little bit funny. All right, so let me just jump right in. So the questioner, Maharaj, you are sitting in front of me and I am here at your feet. What is the basic difference between us? Maharaj's answer, there is no basic difference. Questioner, still, there must be some real difference. I come to you. You do not come to me. Nisargadatta Maharaj. Because you imagine differences. You go here and there in search of superior people. Questioner. You too are a superior person. You claim to know the real, while I do not. Nisargadatta Maharaj, did I ever tell you that you do not know and therefore you are inferior? Let those who invented such distinctions prove them. I do not claim to know what you do not. In fact, I know much less than you do. So I just think, before I move on, I just think this is an interesting comment where he says, let those who invented such distinctions prove them. Let someone prove that you and I are different. And of course, Nisargadatta Maharaj is looking at awareness, life awareness, presence, instead of looking at the body or looking at the mind. Because, of course, if we look at the body or we look at the mind, we are going to be able to point out differences. But he knows that's not our reality. I think in a recent tip, I don't remember if it's one you've read yet or one I wrote that you haven't read. But I remember writing in a recent tip that one way that we know that there's only one awareness is because whenever anybody describes it, they describe the same awareness. There aren't different descriptions of awareness. We can have different descriptions of bodies. We can have different descriptions of minds. But awareness is only one description because there's only one awareness. And this is what he's focused on when he says that there is no difference at all between you and me. He's focused on our reality. So the questioner continues, your words are wise. Your behavior noble, and your grace all powerful. And Nisargadatta says, I know nothing about it all and see no difference between you and me. My life is a succession of events, just like yours, only I am detached and see the passing show as a passing show, while you attach to things and move along with them. And to me, that's a very, very important sentence. As we come to know ourselves as awareness, in spite of the fact that the mind chatters a lot, in spite of the fact that life is constantly happening to us, there's this stillness, this steadiness, this consistency that comes into the foreground and is always here. It's silent, it's quiet, it's clear, transparent. But it's solid. And so what happens is things keep on happening, like, let's see, what, just in the last 24 hours in Regina's life, my printer has quit working. My clothes dryer has quit working. The vet called today and said my dog has cancer. So those are three kind of big things, and then just all the other little things that happen too. But there's this feeling . Well, I'll put it this way. The vet, the vet sounded like she felt somewhat guilty for Jamie's cancer, which I don't quite understand. She just operated on Jamie, and Jamie has a huge incision. I mean, she cut Jamie from, the bottom all the way up to her, to her chest. She's got like a foot long incision. And what the vet did is she went in and she took out a tumor that was there, which she sent off to be tested. But she also took out all this tissue all around it while she was in there, because because if it was cancer, she wanted to take out as much tissue as she could. And then she, of course, sewed Jamie back up. And as it turns out, it is cancer, but where the cancer is coming from is lower in Jamie's body than where the doctor went. And so now she knows that she didn't get it all. And so she feels bad. That's what Nisargadatta is talking about when he says to attach to things and move along with them. She feels bad that she says, I'm sorry, I just didn't know, I didn't go down to that lymph node, and and it's very difficult to explain my experience. It's very difficult to put into words what my experience is, but my experience is there's this constancy that has more reality than anything else. And things come and things go all the time. And the constancy doesn't budge. It remains untouched. It's something that can be counted on. I don't feel anything, anything at all about the fact that the vet maybe missed something. And in fact, the cause of the cancer is that a previous vet missed something. The cause of the cancer is that when Jamie was spayed, a previous vet missed part of her ovary. And that ovary stain in her caused several false pregnancies. Jamie had false pregnancies like twice a year, all the way up until she reached menopause. And all of that hormonal activity is the cause of this particular type of cancer. And I don't feel anything about that either. I mean, I don't feel any anger. I don't feel it should have been different. I don't really feel anything about Jamie having cancer. Not like, some people might think that I should. I know things happen. I know things happen. I'm reading the paper today. Well, the last few days, I mean, the paper is amazing. Or I say the paper, I read online, so I guess it's the screen, but it's like reading the paper, the old reading the paper. I read an article a couple days ago about how Yellowstone National Park has a super volcano, and that volcano could become charged and could explode much faster and sooner than scientists previously thought, and that it could end life on this planet. And then today I read something about North Korea has some kind of a bomb, a hydrogen bomb, I think it was, that if they exploded it above the United States at a certain altitude, that it could knock out our power and 90% of Americans would die within a year. Once upon a time, stuff like that would have scared me, right? I'm sure it's scaring a lot of people. And I know that things come and go, including planets. I know that it's possible. Maybe Yellowstone will blow up. It's possible. It's possible that it won't. It's possible that the hydrogen bomb will blow up over America and 90% of us will die. I understand it's possible. But this consistency is becoming so in the foreground that all of that really is just beginning to feel like a show, something that dances on the screen. And that's what Nisargadatta is talking about here. It's the difference between, what you're identified with in a genuine way, of course. If you're identified with the person and the body, but then things are scary and sad and annoying and frustrating and stressful. But if you're identified with the constancy, things just keep coming and going and keep coming and going, and they don't stop coming and going. But there's such an awareness of their temporary nature compared to the eternal nature, the eternal consistency. So again, Nisargadatta says, "I know nothing about it all and see no difference between you and me. My life is a succession of events, just like yours. Only I am detached and see the passing show as a passing show." And the key word there, I think, is passing. Everything just keeps coming and going. I am detached and see the passing show as a passing show, while you attach to things and move along with them. The questioner, what made you so dispassionate? Nisargadatta, nothing in particular. It so happened that I trusted my guru. He told me, I am nothing but myself, and I believed him. Trusting him, I behaved accordingly and ceased caring for what was not me nor mine. Trusting him, I behaved accordingly and ceased caring for what was not me nor mine. So I think this is very important. And to be honest, from the bottom of my heart, I think that very, very few people choose to shift their identification away from the mind and body to the consistency. Even though many spiritual students know about the consistency, know about awareness, when it comes right down to it and things are happening, their attention is more focused on the happening than the awareness. And then as a result, they react as if the happening is reality. And all that really needs to be done, it's really so simple. All that really needs to be done is that attention just has to stay with the constancy. Everything else can be the same. Do, you're going to do. You know, so, you know, like when your dog has a tumor, you take your dog to the vet, you know, the dog gets surgery, you pay the bill. And then, you know, there's all these rules. The dog can't do this. The dog can't do this. The dog can't do this. So you spend the next week and a half babysitting the dog, making sure the dog doesn't do any of the stuff that she's not allowed to do. You know, all of that you still do. It's not like you become uninvolved in life. That's not what detachment is. Detachment is not being involved. You're fully involved in life. But you just keep your attention with the constancy. That's really what Awakening Together's fifth core value is all about. Awakening Together's fifth core value is about honoring all experiences. And honoring experience means being fully involved in it, right? And you're fully involved in whatever experiences there are for you to be involved in. That's how you honor it. But it's about honoring all experiences while remaining aware of the unaffected self. And so that's what Nisargadatta, I believe, is saying here. He's saying that he trusted his guru when his guru said, "You're the unaffected self." And so he started living from there. He shifted his identification. And that's where his non-attachment came from. And again, non-attachment does not mean not involved. But the funny thing about life that I think most people want to deny, and I don't quite know why anymore, maybe I did too once upon a time, but you kind of cease to understand even the way you used to think before. What people want to do is they want to deny that things come and go and shift and change. It's like we have a need for constancy, which kind of makes sense since we are constancy. It just really means that we have a need for ourselves. We have a need for constancy, but instead of finding that constancy in ourselves, we keep trying to find it in the world. And there is no constancy in the world. The world is coming and going. That's what the world is, coming and going. And so people look out in the world, they try to find their constancy there, they want things to stay the same there, they want their dogs to live forever. Dogs don't live forever. People don't live forever, but dogs, if you have a dog your entire lifetime, in the 75 years that you that you live, maybe. I mean, I don't have my calculator here. Let me see how many dogs you're going to have. 75 divided by 15. You're going to have dogs. It's not too many, but you know, dogs come and go. People come and go. Even planets come and go. People typically last longer than dogs, and planets typically last much longer than people. But none of it's constant. And so when we're looking out at form and we're trying to find constancy there, we suffer. But if we look in the right place, if we look where it is, we're never disappointed because it's always here. The questioner says, why were you lucky to trust your teacher fully? Well, our trust is nominal and verbal. And I think this is what I'm saying is true about most people, actually, is that most people, you know, although they're aware of awareness, you know, if they're on the spiritual path, they're aware of awareness. It's the most talked about thing in spiritual teaching. You know, he's right in that the trust in that is nominal and merely verbal. The attention isn't with the constancy. The attention is still with the world, wanting it to be what it isn't, constant. Wanting it to be what it isn't, something you can count on. Wanting to be what it isn't, your safety and your happiness. So again, the questioner says, why were you lucky to trust your teacher fully? Well, our trust is nominal and verbal. And Nisargadatta says, who can say? It happened so. Things happen without cause and reason, and after all, what does it matter? Who is who? Your high opinion of me is your opinion only. Any moment you may change it. Why attach importance to opinions, even your own? Why attach importance to opinions, even your own? So Nisargadatta is speaking to someone who has him on a pedestal. And, you know, Nisargadatta is just pointing out that I don't even have to live up to what you think of me. I don't have to be as noble as you think I am. And in fact, if he hung around Nisargadatta very long, he might have been disappointed. If he was an Indian, he might have been disappointed when he found out that Nisargadatta ate meat, had sex with his wife, and smoked cigarettes. Regardless of his authenticity, he might have been disappointed when Nisargadatta started screaming at someone and told him to get out of my house. Nisargadatta did those things. You know, Nisargadatta says, I don't have to be noble. I don't have to live up to who you think I am. And when I continue just to be the way I'm going to be, your opinion of me may change. Why are you taking all of this so seriously? Why attach importance to opinions, even your own? That's wise advice for all of us. I watch so many people get upset because of their opinions. If you think about that, that is so silly. Why should we allow our opinions, I mean, my opinion, to be the cause of my upset. If it's my opinion, I certainly have the power to drop it. And then I get to be happy. And is my opinion changing the thing that I think should be changed? Most likely not. That thing that I think should be changed is still out there being what it is, and I'm suffering because of my opinion. And the interesting thing is, if I really look, I can find that this opinion, whatever opinion I'm holding to now that is causing me to suffer, has not been my opinion forever. It wasn't my opinion when I was in fifth grade. It probably wasn't even my opinion when I was 35 years old. It might not have been my opinion 2 years ago. Opinions are like everything else in the world. They come and go. They shift and change. It's not who I am. And why would I cling to something as fragile and as unnecessary as an opinion and give it the power to make me suffer, to make me angry? And say that should not be. It is. Temporarily. It won't be there forever. Because everything out there comes and goes. Both that which we say is good and that which we say is bad. The questioner says, still, you are different. Your mind seems always to be quiet and happy. And miracles happen around you. Nisargadatta says, I know nothing about miracles. And I wonder whether nature admits exceptions to her laws. Unless we agree that everything is a miracle. To my mind, there is no such thing. There is consciousness in which everything happens. It is quite obvious and within the experience of everybody. You just do not look carefully enough. Look well and see what I see. So basically what he's telling this man is, you know, there are certain things that you call natural. And there are certain things that you call unnatural, and you say that they're a miracle. You know, but he says, I wonder if nature admits that there are exceptions to her laws. You know, I'm not going to be able to go into interdependent co-arising right now. Maybe I'll come back to this next week. But within interdependent co-arising, anything can arise. If anything can arise, is it a miracle or is it just the nature of divine law? And whatever arises, how extraordinary it is or not, it is still temporary phenomenon. It's not the truth. And Nisargadatta, again, is very focused on the truth. And so the miracles do not impress him. It's just more coming and going, more happening. And with that, I'm going to let go of the mic, and I'll come back next week, and we'll continue reading this message, okay? Have a good week. Oh, actually, I won't come back next week because we're closed. I'll come back in 2 weeks after the fall retreat. Okay, bye.